Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Details. Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at Munsley. Munns, what are we listening to?
It's the Drive-By Truckers, Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah.
A song called Ghost to Most, and it's off the fantastic album Brighter Than Creation's Dark.
Overall with the Tigers, so we get to last week. I believe P.J. Haggerty had not committed yet, but it seemed imminent. Dane Danger was another name that had been tracking, if you will. We also find out on Friday, I think, honestly, it was like right after the show, because I think I texted Mark the tweet that I saw, that Ashton Hardaway has entered the transfer portal. When you take the week in totality, how do you think it went for the Tigers?
Oh, really good. I don't see how it can be viewed any other way. You've got P.J. Haggerty, who is the first to jump in the boat. He is a 6'3 guard who can pretty much do anything. 15th in the country in scoring, National Freshman of the Year. He was named that last week. The same award that Kyle Filipowski won last year. Cade Cunningham won it back in the day. Zion Williamson won it. That's the award P.J. Haggerty won for the job that he did at Tulsa this past season. I mean, people forget. Tulsa was a 5-win team 2 seasons ago. With P.J. Haggerty running the show, they were a 16-win team. That's pretty good improvement, with the same head coach. So P.J. Haggerty deserves a lot of credit. He's coming to Memphis now. And then Dane Danger, 6'10", 260 right now, 260-ish right now. I talked to him last week. He told me he's going to try to get down to 240. To sort of help with his ability to get up and down the floor and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, you bring those are your starting blocks for filling out this roster. And then, you know, you mentioned Ashton Hardaway going into the transfer portal. Obviously Penny wanted to, you know, Memphis wanted him. He was here for a reason. They wanted him. When they had him, but I just given what we saw over the course of the entire season, I was kind of, as I was looking ahead, and obviously they're going to be filling out the majority of the roster this upcoming season with the transfer portal, you start to ask yourself, where is he going to fit as a second-year player who really didn't have a ton of success as a true freshman. Him leaving, I think Mark Giannotto posted this on Twitter last week. You know, it's like you think it's probably a good move for everyone involved, and I think that's probably the case.
With Haggerty, it seemed like, you know, from the Tiger faithful, the first comp is, okay, this is every bit as big a deal as getting Kendrick Davis. I wasn't quite ready to go there because Kendrick Davis was a reigning player of the year, whatnot. I'm not doubting that it's a significant pickup. I think, though, the question that I have is, in your mind, how significant is this pickup?
Yeah, I mean, I get the – and I think I even mentioned Kendrick Davis in my story when he committed, when P.J. Haggerty committed, because he scores – like, he plays the same position. He scores. He this past season, he was second in the league in scoring, 15th in the country in points per game. He rebounds it well, 5.5 rebounds a game. He distributes it well, right at, I think, 3.8 assists per game. You know, that's not Kendrick Davis level, you know, playmaking. But after all, it was his only his first full season in college, and this past season's Tulsa team was not the best. It was not even close to the best team that Kendrick Davis played on in SMU. So Kendrick Davis had a lot more playmakers, you know, pieces around him yep. than P.J. Haggerty had at Tulsa. Kendrick Davis is also older than P.J. Haggerty is. He's going to be a redshirt sophomore. He's about to turn 20, I believe, here this week, like later this week. I think he's going to turn 20. So you can see a path to him, to P.J. Haggerty eventually being a, you know, comparable to the sort of impact that Kendrick Davis had if he can pick up his three-point shooting and play a little bit better defense than he did this past season. But you know, I think it's hard to understate what it means for Memphis to get him, and not only get him, but get him first. He's the first domino to fall. I think it's really, I think it's major.
Do you think, are we seeing trends develop? Like, you know, when you're trying to think, okay, how are they trying to build this recruiting class? On the one hand, it's like, okay, people often are citing they need multi-year guys. Well, P.J. Haggerty checks that box. Dane Danger, I remember Mark and I were trying to determine, because of the red shirt year at Baylor, it's like, I don't know. It seems to me like that.
No, he says, he told me he's got two seasons left.
But then on the other hand, for me, it's like, okay, that is a great thing to have. And like, I understand prioritizing that. But at the same time, it's like, are you able to sit there and go like, well, we can just assume that this guy's going to be back? Like, to me, it just feels like it's so year to year. But are you starting to see trends that are developing in terms of targets?
Yeah. I mean, I think what I'm starting to see is that Memphis is going after specific, they're not just going for the best player available sort of thing, where I feel like last year that it was, you kind of got the feeling that
totally
with
agree.
a couple of exceptions, Nick Jourdain being one of them, they were kind of like going after just who they thought was the best player available that they could realistically get. And I guess Jalen Young, we don't count him either, but this feels like, you know, these two guys and some of the other players that you're hearing them mentioned in the same breath with, it feels like they're being way more intentional about roles and fit and, you know, getting like addressing things positionally. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that the first two, as I said before, the first two dominoes to fall are a point guard and a big man. I mean, like those are the cornerstones of every team. You know, you want a really good point guard and you want a good inside presence. So they've got those. You know, we'll see what happens the rest of the way, but they've kind of addressed those two things straight away. So I don't know. I think. And yes, you do see them going after guys who have eligibility left and not just these guys who are going to be 1 year things. Although at the same time as you have to also concede the fact that it does appear that it's going to be a year to year thing with the majority of guys. I mean, it looks like Nick Jourdain is going to come back. It looks like David Jones, if he's going to not turn pro, that he'll be back. So there are some exceptions, but anyway, those are my thoughts on that.
Where are you turning your attention to next?
So the names that there's a couple of names that are beginning to pick up steam a little bit, for Memphis. You've got Aaron Scott at North Texas, who is a 6'7", like wing, 3-and-D wing type guy. He was mentioned last week in multiple reports. And then, you know, there was some talk about some speculation that he was also being, not speculation, there were reports that he was also being courted by St. John's, by Rick Pitino at St. John's as well. And so here we are, it's Monday afternoon, and we haven't really heard anything about Aaron Scott. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. But that is one that I think people should keep an eye on. And then Wichita State guard Colby Rogers, who was one of the better three-point shooters in the league this past season. My understanding is there's some significant interest there between Memphis and Colby Rogers. So those would be, I know Jonathan Lawson has been mentioned. Obviously everybody knows who Jonathan is. He transferred to Creighton after last offseason. He transferred to Creighton. Now he's back in the transfer portal. I've talked to some people who are close to the situation who have told me that there has been contact between Memphis and Jonathan Lawson, but some of these same people are also telling me that it doesn't feel like it's going to happen, that it feels more like Jonathan's going to go somewhere else.
Is Memphis becoming the all AAC team?
You know, I was actually just talking to somebody about that, and they brought that up, and I was like, you know, maybe if, but you know, like Aaron Scott and Colby Rogers weren't all AAC guys.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, yeah, you had what? You had Nick Jourdain last year, Jalen Young, Jaquan Walton. Those were all American guys. And then PJ Haggerty was in the American this past season, Aaron Scott, Colby Rogers. But, I mean, you know, like it kind of makes sense. Like these guys, Penny saw these guys with his own two eyes.
Yeah.
And yeah, up close and personal, had to scout them. Had to game plan for them and got to see them, you know, and even probably sort of might have bumped into them in the handshake line a couple times. You know, familiarity.
I mean, to your point, I think the biggest thing is Penny gets his eyes on them.
Yeah, yeah, and just kind of sees how they operate, how they respond to coaching. I mean, he's got firsthand eyewitness account on all these different things. So it shouldn't be that surprising. But yeah, it is kind of interesting that we are sitting here very early in the off season, and a lot of the names that are that we're talking about are AAC guys. But we'll see how it plays out. I mean, there's still a lot of time left, and nobody's saying that Aaron Scott or Colby Rogers are actually going to come here. But that seems to be the direction things are trending.
We'll wrap up here. You have written about last week we had Jalen Duren and James Wiseman's return to Memphis. You'd asked some former teammates, former guys, what was thought about either. Did anything really stand out to you when you started talking to these guys?
Oh, just that, you know, I got a chance to spend some time one-on-one with both of them. And, you know, obviously they're both very busy as professional NBA basketball players. And so they've got a ton of different things going on in their respective lives. But I did find it, you know, it was pretty refreshing that both of them, independently of one another, you know, said that they still are – in some way, shape, or form, at some level, invested in Penny Hardaway and Memphis basketball. Like, they still pay attention. They still keep tabs on how things are going here with, you know, both for Penny Hardaway and for the Tigers. And I thought that was kind of refreshing. I mean, who knows? Some of that might have been lip services because they knew who they were talking to.
Sure.
But I didn't get that sense. It felt genuine from both of them. And so that was probably my biggest takeaway. And you know, I asked them both about, you know, things that they learned from Penny and learned from being at Memphis, and how that has served them well in their professional careers. And that's all, I mean, you know, like that is all stuff that Penny and Memphis can use and do use on the recruiting trail is every time somebody, a pro comes out and says something like that, it reflects well on the program. And so, yeah, no, it was cool catching up with those guys.
Muns, we really appreciate it, buddy.